some weaving, some cleaning up the compound, all engaged in some form of productive work. The leader of the community, an old woman in her 80s, greeted me through an interpreter and made a little speech. The theme seemed to be how happy and useful old people felt since the revolution. Before liberation, she said, old people were left to die in the fields. After liberation, though, things had been wonderful. The rest of the old folks scarcely glanced up as their leader talked. Every time she spoke the words after liberation, however, it was as if a button had been pushed. Each aged face became animated, each pair of hands began to clap, and then as the leader continued, they settled back again to the reveries of old age. But if the enthusiasm of the elderly seemed less than spontaneous, it was not so with young people. My youthful interpreter in Shanghai a week later clearly had an evangelist's fervour. Before, Shanghai had been noted for its prostitutes. After, the prostitutes were taken to training camps where they had learned useful skills. Before, China had had one of the lowest literacy rates in the world. After, it had achieved one of the highest. On and on it went. This kind of conversation made me all the more eager to visit a commune. After all, guides were government employees, screened and indoctrinated for their jobs. Surely the average worker was not so starry-eyed about the wonderful world of after. In all, during my stay in China, I was able to visit 6 communes. The first numbered more than 10,000 people, and it was here that I had my first chance to visit informally in a Chinese home. I chose the home myself, a small thatch-roofed house on a side street, and was allowed to drop in unannounced. An old man answered our knock. He and his wife showed us around with crackling laughs and ever-present smiles. Pride was obvious. They pointed several times to their grain store, a cylindrical bin made of bamboo and filled with wheat. I asked, through the interpreter, if mice were not a problem. The old man laughed. "We have mice," he said, "but now we do not mind because there is enough for us and them too. But it wasn't like that before." Before. My great disadvantage, of course, was that I had no mental picture of before. I was a rank newcomer to this complex land, with no real points of comparison. At another commune, for example, I was shown through a hospital that, had it been in Holland, would have been the last place in the country we would have shown to visitors. The operating room had neither overhead lighting nor sterilizing pan. The pharmacy was a row of empty shelves, and in some of the wards the beds not only lacked sheets, but mattresses as well. And yet, on a tour clearly intended to impress me, I was being shown this place as though in their own minds it represented an advance. Did this give me a glimpse of before?